The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Fastabye, good afternoon. It's 7 minutes after midday today, this Monday lunchtime on Bank Radio. Man in Line is on till one. Well, first of all, the news about the Ben McCree. There's a technical issue in Heysham earlier on, meaning the anchor on the Ben McCree, which had been used during berthing, couldn't be raised. The tide then dropped below a level where the Ben could leave Heysham Port because... See, the west coast of England is gradually coming out of the sea. She's now en route to Douglas, having recovered her anchor. Manannan was drafted in at short notice to operate the 8:45 sailing from Douglas to Heysham. The plan for later on today is, obviously, the Ben is on the way to the Isle of Man. She should be here at about quarter past one this afternoon. Manannan will arrive in Heysham about 20 past midday. Manannan will leave Heysham at a quarter past one, and Manannan will then get back to Douglas and depart for Liverpool at 4:45. The previous 3 o'clock to Liverpool now rescheduled for 4:45. And consequently, the evening sailing, the 7:15 from Liverpool, will now leave at 8:15. But the Ben McCree scheduled to leave at 7:45, on schedule tonight for Heysham. That's the situation with that. So, did you hear the news? Apparently, the planning committee has refused planning permission for the development of the Newsons property on North Quay in Douglas, the one that's been surrounded by scaffolding and fences for the last year or so. And the rumour is apparently that the owner's had enough and has now put the property up for sale. So presumably the people who didn't want whatever it was to be developed will buy the property and develop it themselves to whichever specification they wanted. We'll try and find out later on what the ins and outs are of that situation. But that's the ruling now, that bomb site on North Quay, the green and white mess that looks like a Banksy development, is not going to be developed. There was a substantial development planned for it with retail and, I think, offices. A couple of doors up were going to be incorporated into it, and there were some premium apartments going on top of it. But it's not going to. So apparently the estate agents have now been instructed to sell the Newsons development. Any thoughts on that? Now, bearing in mind what the government's been saying about developing brownfield sites, we now have Park Road, we have Summerland, we have Castle Mona, of course. The Middlemarch site does have plans, but that's years away. The old prison on Victoria Road, and many decrepit homes, abandoned properties around Douglas and certainly around Ramsey as well, that just aren't being developed. I just wonder whether this figures in the Chief Minister's plan for the future to actually do something about it. There is a dilapidated buildings officer, I think, around, so maybe we could get a word with them just to see what their thoughts are on the matter. Now, just put aside any personal feelings you have regarding the Newsons property, but what does it say about the Isle of Man? The fact that that was a premium site, and the quay, the North and South Quay, obviously are going to be developed. But planning wouldn't admit it. Planning wouldn't let it go through. So, any thoughts on that? Then call in. Text 166 177. Call 66 1368. Email studio@manxradio.com. Lots of other things to talk about, and we'll get to the teachers' dispute fairly shortly. Also, what is happening with the severe shortage of pharmacists and locums? Well, it's across the British Isles, but it's impacting us on the Isle of Man. Apparently, there are long snaking lines in pharmacies in Ramsey. And if that's something that you've been affected by in Ramsey, it seems to have been going on for absolutely ever. You would have thought that pharmacists and locums are fairly easy to locate. But we'll find out more as the day goes on. If you have something to report, by all means, get in touch. David's on first with us. Hi, David.
Andy, I can tell you from the horse's mouth, when I was in government, we went to visit the Riley site that used to be at the other end of Newsom's.
Yes.
You know the one I mean?
Yes, yes.
Now, we went to look at that because he had a report that was done, and I presume it's the same from the Newsom's site, is because of a similar age and, previously in same condition. When we went up there, the place, the roof was knackered, it was bellying. The joists that were going into the old stone walls, because don't forget, the stone wall buildings there, they were actually running water through the roof, down into the building and down through. And the fella put in the application and it was changed then. And that's what you've got now, a new modern building, up to speed with all the modern things in it, and some flats in there and some offices. So I can't get over, the government said last week, didn't they? They were going to have a new push on the planning.
Yes.
Not make life easier, but make life more fluid. And here we have a developer that now has said, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him when he sat back now and said, I've spent enough money on this. And it'll be an eyesore.
Well, you just wonder now how long it's going to be before somebody... Well, first of all, would anybody want to buy it if you can't get planning permission on it?
Well, there's a millstone around its neck, isn't it? they know for a fact that they're going to get bounced. There was a recommendation, I'm led to believe, for approval on it from the Douglas Corporation, which is a local authority.
And the Department for Enterprise, David. The Department for Enterprise have approved it. They want it to happen.
I know, and it happened years ago, and I don't know why they're not taking that, or the officers are not taking that account. And I'd like to see some justification, maybe from the other side of the fence, to say why it's not. And when you look at it, we've still, like you said earlier there, we've still got the prison site, Summerland, Park Road School. Oh, we've got the one in there, the nurse's home, haven't we? That was done without having any parking. So the question mark is, why is one getting treated differently than the other? And we don't forget, and I have no connection with them too, we've still got the golf links, haven't we, around our neck as well?
Oh, crikey, yes, what? That still looks like the Adams family live there.
And I know, why can't we be positive? We need to be positive. And don't forget, the biggest thing, and people have got to realise now, if you go over to get material to do any work, extensions or whatever, it's through the roof. If you can get a builder and the builder says to you, that's only valid for 2 or 3 months, if you're lucky. So we need to move on. Let's get together and get it done.
Well, it just, it certainly sends out a message. I don't know what sort of message it sends out and whether the message is to an Isle of Man audience, to an audience elsewhere. Because if somebody's looking for inward investment, what sort of message does it send?
Yeah, well, I said to you last week, where's the Chamber of Commerce coming in here and all these other organisations that's supposed to generate wealth for the Isle of Man? Because if we create some wealth, everybody will get a share of it eventually, won't we?
Okay, all right, David, thank you.
Leave it at that.
All right, good
Bye.
To talk to you. Thanks, it's quarter past 12 on Manx Radio. By the way, coincidentally, the Isle of Man Planning Committee needs some new members. Maybe you want to have a bash at this. People with a strong knowledge of the Isle of Man and an interest in the built environment are being sought to join the Planning Committee. The majority of applications are determined through delegation by senior government planning officers. The committee is responsible for about 20% each year. Now, the Planning Committee is made up of 6 lay members, and it meets twice a month in Douglas to determine between 10 and 20 applications. Its members play an important role as their decisions impact lives and livelihoods. Members must be keen to do their best for the Isle of Man and capable of understanding policy whilst acting impartially. They must also be resilient, given the high profile planning has, and confident of dealing with complex and often emotive issues. No formal qualifications are needed, but a good knowledge of island life and experience of private, public or third sector are an advantage. Training and ongoing support is going to be provided for successful candidates. Now, if you want to join the Isle of Man Planning Committee, applications close on the 16th of October. And If you want more information, all you need to do is call 685910 or email planning@gov.im. If you want to join the planning committee, they're looking for new members. Telephone number 685910 or email planning@gov.im. There is an allowance of £78 per session and travelling expenses, if that's your motivation. Any thoughts on this matter and the brownfield sites that are around us? We get used to them, let's face it. You kind of zone out, don't you? You know the fact that Summerland just looks a complete mess. You know that the Castle Mona looks a complete mess. We know that. But people who come to the Isle of Man for the first time, or maybe returning visitors, will put two and two together and say, actually, the Castle Mona's been like that for, well, seemingly forever, doesn't it? Summerland's been like that since they knocked the old one down. The bus station went, well, years ago. Do you remember the days when you used to be able to check in for the airport at the old bus station? It looked very handsome at one time, but doesn't now. Parents are being left desperate as some high school students are missing lessons due to ongoing industrial action. If you're a parent, this is a right pain in the neck. A teacher who's offering free Zoom lessons to Manx pupils whose learning's being disrupted. Members of the NES-UWT have already escalated action short of a strike. Remember, they're the only union that hasn't accepted this pay offer. All the rest have. Now, NES-UWT members have now voted in favour of striking in a dispute over pay. So get this. They will be in schools where members of other unions have accepted the pay deal and the terms deal. So members of the NASUWT may be in a minority, may be in a majority. There is also the case of multiple union membership, people who are members of more than one union. It's possible, though I have no evidence for this, but it is possible that a teacher may be a member of two unions, one of which has accepted the pay deal and another one hasn't. Some high schools are asking year groups to work from home as they don't have enough staff to safely manage break times. Now, Rachel Green's a qualified teacher and a private tutor, and she's been telling Manx Radio why she is offering lessons.
My Zoom allows me to teach up for 100 people to participate, so I thought, actually, I could reach a lot of people sitting at home. And I just thought, because I'm a parent and I'm also a teacher, I can see both sides of this whole issue. And I just thought the kids are missing out. And actually, I think the teachers will be very, very frustrated that they can't deliver what they want to deliver. So I just thought, in helping both sides, you know, if it was me and I was striking and I knew that there was a tutor going, actually, I'm going to pick up the reins for you, my attitude would be, brilliant, thanks. It's really, really blown up, and I didn't expect it, to be honest with you. It's been incredible, and I think it just sort of highlights how people are feeling at the moment. People are desperate for their kids' education to be continuing, and I as a parent, I feel for everybody. You know, it's tough times, but yeah, the response has been amazing. Do it for the next few weeks while the strikes are on, whilst the kids are off. I don't know how many hours I'm going to be able to do a day, but maybe 2 or 3 hours a day.
Well, this seems to have been going on forever, doesn't it? It predated COVID. The teachers' dispute was on before we'd even heard of COVID, let alone be subject to it. Geraldine O'Neill is the local negotiating secretary for the NASUWT.
We've had some positive feedback and we have had some negative feedback, as you will have with any group of people. The positive feedback that we've had is parents contacting our head office and asking how can they support us. I think what people really want to understand is why this has happened. And, you know, again, with all due respect, the solution to this lies in the hands of the employer. That's where parents need to put their queries on this. Why has this come to this? Why have you not resolved it? Why can you not sit down around the table and actually come to a fair, equitable compromise and way of dealing with this long term? That's what we want. No group of teachers or teaching unions ever want to consider action or strike action. So this is unprecedented, but it has to be dealt with. We have people who are desperate. People are evaluating, can they afford to stay here on the Isle of Man? So you need salaries that are sustainable to be able to cope with the cost of living crisis.
Ultimately, the main people who are suffering as a result of this are the children. And after the last 3 years of disruption from COVID, it's just yet another disruption to these children's education. So what would you say to that argument?
The solution to the argument is that it has to be dealt with. The minister mentioned that this has been going on. Yes, indeed it has. And as a backbencher, she was very supportive of the teaching trade unions and struggle. We do not want to have divide and rule here, nor do we want to be in conflict with parents. Again, as I've said, parents need to direct their issues about school closures, about the lack of supervision, about people in break times who are supervising, who may not be teaching staff, to the department. And it is up to them to sit down with us and find the solutions that we want to find to this. We are professionals. We are experts in our area. We want to find solutions, but they have to come back to us with something concrete.
That's Geraldine O'Neill. Apparently, it's up to them to go to the union with solutions. Seems a fairly steadfast approach and fairly unequivocal. It's up to the employer, i.e. the Department of Education, Sport and Culture, to go to the union with proposals, and then the union will look at it. You got any thoughts on the matter? The Education Minister, Julie Edge, MHK, says it's the department's main priority to avoid members striking and to reach an agreement with the union. Julie Edge.
Clearly it's concerning following their ballot. However, we're in direct communication on a regular basis with them. So the union, you know, claims to represent 448 of our 850 teachers employed. And I understand from the information that I've been provided with that about half of their members voted in the recent ballot, and that was to continue with the actions.
You say that you've been in constant communication with the union, but clearly that communication's not been successful. Where do you think it's been going wrong?
We certainly are communicating with the union. Do we want to de-escalate this as soon as possible? We do. We know that the three main points of concern, which is pay, erosion of pay over a 10-year period, whilst we continue with negotiations to ensure that we have the right sustainable teachers' pay on the island for our workforce that, you know, helps settle this dispute. It's also about recruitment and retention.
Presumably a competitive salary is going to be essential to that.
So we didn't have any shortage of teachers in September. We'd recruited to all the vacant posts. And we are already paying a higher rate of pay than teachers in England. So that was the first step to make sure that the island is seen to be attractive. And that saw a percentage uplift of between 2% and 7.6%.
The longer this goes on for, the more that these children are going to be affected. You've already had 3 years of disruption because of the COVID pandemic. So how important is it for you to be able to reach a resolution with the union and quickly?
It's our priority in the department, and my call to the union and to the teachers is to de-escalate this action of the 20-minute break period so that our students can be back in our schools, and whilst we have the opportunity to get around the table and negotiate. This 20-minute break is causing the disruption for our students and to our parents. And I can only apologise to them for that. And we do need to achieve a resolution to this as soon as possible.
Well, there are many people involved in this particular dispute. Obviously, there is the union, there are the teachers, there is the administration at each school that have to sort all this out, the other teachers who often have to pick up the slack. There are the parents of the students who are being affected by this. And then there's you. You, the taxpayer. This is your tax pounds that are going to pay this. And I just wonder what you think about this and how on earth can this be actually brought to a conclusion? Can we get to the bottom of this? It seems that the union seem to be folding their arms and saying, come and impress us. Tell us what you have to offer. Am I reading that situation properly? What are your thoughts on this? And what are the implications if the government, if the department caves in? what will happen? First of all, what will the members of the other unions think about the fact they actually voted for the salary package and members of the NES UWT didn't? 50%, Mrs. Edge quoted 50% of the membership that voted for this. The Newsom building, politicians' favourite saying, is going forwards. Surely now this is going backwards. Things like the Castle Mona, worth saving, but come on, poor quality, poorly constructed buildings, surely they should be demolished, says John. A texter also said, let's get the head of planning on the radio to justify their salary and show us if we're getting value for money, says Tony. Actually, a fortnight on Wednesday, the chair of the planning committee will be on Man in Line. A fortnight on Wednesday, David Ashford, MHK, North Douglas, MHK, will be on Man in Line. He's the new chair of the planning committee. But he's also had a lot to say about Willesden School and also about the a package for the cost of living crisis, the money that's going to be given out. So a fortnight on Wednesday, it's as soon as we could get Mr. Ashford in, but a fortnight on Wednesday, David Ashford will be on Man in Line. And now let's have a look. We've got John's with us. Hi, John. Juan. We're trying to find Juan. We'll find Juan in a few moments' time. He's not there at the moment. By the way, the fire service would like to see you tomorrow. No need to book. If you want to become a firefighter, there's a try-it session tomorrow. No need to book. Just drop into Douglas Fire Station between 6:15 and 8 o'clock to experience the hose running, the bleep test, and breathing apparatus elements of their recruitment process. So the fire service want to see you. If you want to go and try being a fire officer, then by all means, you can at Douglas Fire Station tomorrow from 6:15 till 8 o'clock. You can also chat to serving firefighters and discuss any queries you may have about recruitment. Minimum age for come and try it sessions is 18. You'll need to wear suitable clothing for physical activity. Each session is 30 minutes. OK, that's tomorrow evening, 6:15 till 8 o'clock. We'll try Juan again. Hi, Juan. No, Juan's not there. We'll try and find Juan in a few moments' time. I want to talk about Ramsay and what's happening with the snaking queues. Apparently, there are snaking queues at Ramsay regarding the pharmacies. A severe shortage of pharmacists and locums is basically at the bottom of the problem for the long snaking lines at pharmacies in Ramsay.
Residents in the north have complained they're having to wait, sometimes reportedly for more than 3 hours, to collect their medication from Lloyd's Pharmacy. While some are successful, many say their medication is either out of stock or just not ready for collection. I went to Ramsay to speak to some of those affected.
I went to the pharmacy at St Paul's. They hadn't told people they were closing. I went round to the other pharmacy and it was utter chaos, and I can't understand the empty shelves and all the boxes that are still here now in that shop. They haven't got their act together.
I'm quite saddened to see the changes, how now they're not performing the customer service, how the medication's not getting to the patient. When I worked in pharmacy, the customer was supplied with their medication to make sure they're fit and well. You know, I'm saddened to see also the barren shelves that are there. Has an understanding with being in pharmacy previously, we had to keep that level of service where customer service was paramount.
You sometimes had to queue just to put the prescription in. I remember going on one occasion to pick them up. I'd expressly said in ShopRite, and when I got there they hadn't got it, so I went up to the surgery, and then in the end I tracked it down to the pharmacy in the main street. But yes, there was a lot of difficulty. You had to queue, then you had to queue when you went back, particularly at one point with social distancing. Yes, people were out on the pavement in the street. One day I waited an hour to put the prescription in. I went back 2 weeks later because there was something they couldn't find. I was 2 hours waiting.
Well, I've waited 3 hours, nearly four hours for medication that I haven't even received yet.
You can wait there for maybe half an hour. You get half your prescription, so then you've got to come back another day and wait another hour. You get to the stage where you think, I won't bother coming back for it, so you're not going to bother taking it.
So what type of medication?
Blood pressure, painkillers.
Mine's asthma. I just go to Boots now.
I tried to get alternate. They sent it down to Lloyd's and ShopRite. All the same, even though I never ticked it to go down there.
Meng's care says it's aware that there continues to be issues with the provision of pharmacy services in Ramsey and remains in daily contact with Lloyd's, which operates the three pharmacies in the town, to try and support them in resolving these issues. It's also in contact with Ramsey Group Practice, given the ongoing impact this is also having on the staff and patients there. Meng's care says it will meet with Lloyd's this week to see what else can be done to improve the situation and support people living in the town who continue to be impacted by this.
What's happening then in the north of the Isle of Man? There are three Lloyds in, obviously there's one inside ShopRite, there's Parliament Street, and there's St Paul Square. If you get your prescription from any of those, just tell me what it is. We've had reports of very long queues. Some people also say service is absolutely fine. Where's the story? Is it in between or either end? And obviously ongoing medications for blood pressure, for asthma, and also painkillers, are needed. Any thoughts, any experiences to share? We found Juan. Hi, Juan.
How are you, Andy?
I'm fine. Whereabouts were you? We're at the bottom. You weren't in Newsons, were you?
Well, you know, I, you know what? If I was a conspiracy theorist, I'd think that Alf was trying to block me talking. But I'm not, so there we go. I mean, I could be Peter Barlow today, or John, whoever they want me to be, I'll be. I was talking to the builder that was involved with Newsoms about a month ago. Bumped into him, we got talking, and from what they're saying, I mean, the person who bought it is a, you know, a good investor. He got plenty of money, wealthy man, but the obstacles were put in his way after he purchased it. And the place, although I'm all for keeping heritage and stuff, the place is falling to pieces, past repair. So, you know, that's what the builders are saying about it. And if people are changing the goalposts and being obstructive to people after they've purchased, it doesn't send a good sign out for other investors. And I know, talking to quite a few people, that their planning is very obstructional in certain things. I mean, they talk about, old stone buildings in Douglas and the amount of stuff that they've got. But you try and get permission to take a chimney stack down, which obviously is a big problem of causing damp in a lot of the old Victorian buildings. But you try and actually go through the rigmarole of getting a chimney stack taken down, and you'll see how obstructional the planning can be. So I don't know. You know, I try my best to talk to the people that are on the ground and get their information on stuff. But that's the feedback I got from that.
It makes you wonder as well, Juan. I mean, you probably know the terrace. The terrace by Woodburn Square. There's been at the end of that terrace, there's been a knackered old building there that's been empty for 20 years. I mean, it's just sat there, absolutely. I think pigeons have been born and died in there umpteen times, and it just sits there. And you just wonder, they talk about, planning and planning for the future and making the Isle of Man attractive to inward investment. But when we can't even sort out decrepit buildings or put sanctions on the owners to improve them, you just wonder, you know, people draw their own conclusions, Juan.
And it makes you wonder why them buildings are sat there. Because if you own a building, would you want to leave your investment sat there? Is there a problem that you're coming up against, or an obstacle that's stopping you get on with doing the building, as per se? And that's what's causing the problem, is the obstacles that's in the way. And again, back to the same old story that we talk about of, you know, government come out with all this here, you know, reaching out and helping. But how actually helpful are they? And maybe you could talk to some builders and people who are invested on the ground floor and get some honest opinions from them of you know, how easy it is to get things done. And I just want to tie that in with the conference from last week. And I think the last seminar that they had on brownfield sites and the planning and everything, I was listening, not a lot actually, but Phil Corn had on his perspective yesterday, an oversight of the first day of it, and people's opinions, which I think, you know, the opinion seems to be the same as what I had last week. Government were, they reached out, as you will, to talk to us, but they didn't reach out on the same token. There was not a lot of Q&A went on. And I'm listening to the last seminar, and they had a representative there from the Northern Powerhouse Initiative, which is around the Manchester area. And I don't know whether anyone in your newsroom has got the slide from this presentation, because I can't find it on my info. But they clearly have got a plan for Douglas. They're not kind of wanting to admit it much. And it was on the slide presentation the other day of shared living accommodation, shared space. If I'm right, if I'm wrong, please tell me if someone knows. Everything within walking distance, sustainable food growth for people within Douglas.
Oh, I saw. Is this the one with the concentric circles on it? It's showing how far people are going to be encouraged to walk to work and what have you.
Yes, yeah, and the other big thing on it as well was no motorised vehicles. So they obviously, and this ties in obviously with the horse trams and the way the promenade was designed, so they've been quite cute in saying we're having shared space with the promenade when they first did it, but they didn't really want to tell people that they don't want motor vehicles. And it's kind of, if you look on the World Economic Forum, which of course was a conspiracy 2 years ago, their idea of a smart city, and it comes very close to this smart city. So we've obviously got people embedded within our government that have got a World Economic Forum background or following us as per, which is now coming out with the likes of this presentation. I've said this for a long time. So they kind of stopped short on the fact of you will own nothing and be happy, which is kind of what Klaus Schwab's little back speech was. But there obviously seems to be a bigger plan there. It's just that they don't kind of want to know what that plan actually is.
Well, there are two things that stand in the way of about walking to work in Douglas. They are Prospect Hill and Crellin's Hill. And how on earth they're going to, I mean, if they're planning on putting two giant escalators, then good on them. That'd be a great idea. Or if they're planning on free public transport every 20 minutes, little mini shuttles going around, that's okay. I mean, if that's the way they want to stop people driving cars, remember, a full bus could take 75 cars off the road if you do it properly. So if these are the plans, as you say, Tell us what the plan is for the future.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I mean, I said some time ago about the COVID thing, if you want to engage with the people, then engage with them. Put your panel on the stage at the Villa Marina, and we'll put a panel of other people on stage at the Villa Marina, and let the people come into the hall at a reasonable time of day and listen to both sides of the discussion. And like a lot of governments, not just here, but it seems to be everywhere at the moment, they want to tell you, they're very good at telling you what they're going to do, but they don't want to actually engage with the people, because the people might have some ideas about that. And we don't want the rabble getting annoyed about what we're actually going to do. So, you know, every so often they've got to put their head above the parapet and actually come out with these little things and hope that no one takes too much interest in it before they get it done.
All right, we'll see what happens, Jimmy. We appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
Yes, Andy. See you later.
Good to hear from you. Politics meets PR, said one correspondent. Politics meets the PR industry. That was the government. Well, it was a good start, let's just say that. And government aimed to engage with everybody. And they certainly got lots of information out there. But, that was Dennis's view of the whole thing. Government meets the PR industry. It's a joke, says Neil, about the lack of planning refusal on the quay. These things just need pushing through. Let's get sorted. Somebody in government needs the push and a more positive planning committee bringing in. Who's going to want to come to an Isle of Man that looks like a dump? And Pammy said GCSE results worst in the British Isles. Our teachers best paid in the British Isles, wanting more. I'm disgusted. This is a ransom demand. Nothing short of that, it's a ransom demand by the NASUWT. I wouldn't mind if we had good results, but we are literally the worst. How does the Chief Minister expect to increase residents by 15,000, says Texter 439, when the planners reject applications for the development of properties which include accommodation? It's been the case for some time, says David, that we send our repeat prescriptions 10 days before we need, but when we go to collect, we queue to be told to come back later when we have to queue again, says David. Is that for the north of the Isle of Man, David? Texter 861, thank you for that. Let's have a look here. A mention in that just said, if I don't send my children to school, I can get fined for not sending my children to school. So why isn't it for the same for teachers not going to work? Says Martin on Snaefell.
Island Hearing Limited, your local hearing care specialist since 2009, with branches in Port Erin and Ramsey. We provide the very latest hearing aid technology available, which you can try at home, with excellent aftercare and a wax removal service available using microsuction. Give us a ring on 830 722 or visit Island Hearing at 1 Station Road, Port Erin. We're happy to help. Island Hearing, always listening.
Concerned, confused or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies, and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
On Thursday, the 6th of October, direct from the USA. Don't miss The 3 Degrees live at the Gaiety Theatre. Get your groove on as The 3 Degrees perform great hits like When Will I See You Again and Take Good Care of Yourself. Also featuring special guest Eban Brown, former lead singer of The Stylistics. Buy tickets now at villagaiety.com or ring the box office on 600-555. The 3 Degrees, presented by RS Promotion and supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
Hello, my name is John Barker and I have the good news for you that the Manx Radio Folk Show is back every Tuesday night from 9 to 10pm, bringing you folk and roots music from the Isle of Man and around the world. My first show is on Tuesday the 27th of September and will also be available as a podcast. I hope that you can join me.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and the green future.
Faster Mai, good afternoon. The NASUWT says G on 313 should explain how they deserve a pay rise when exam results are worse than across. And they're better off, the pay's better, and English teachers aren't on strike, are they? Says Pat. Are you, like me, unsure of what this teachers' union is actually on strike for? Normally, you would have their own demands. But this union hasn't put into the public domain what exactly their demands are, so it's ridiculous that they're not going public, says Texter 384. That's Alex. I'm fed up with this teacher nonsense, says Texter 117. They really need just to get back to work. If they won't cover the 20 minutes in the morning, then go in and work your message missing there. Who determines that? All they appear to be teaching is the kids, how do you do as little as possible for as much money as possible, says Texter 117. And a message in that just says the government needs to keep negotiating until something's sorted out with the union. It's no good digging their heels in and saying we aren't doing any more because it's not going to go away. Something needs to be agreed as soon as possible, says Sue. Thank you, Sue. The trouble is we need to define the word soon. How soon is soon and when will something be happening? I just stress, this has been going on forever. I think they started this before we started building the new landing stage in Liverpool. So it's become a way of life. So you just wonder, if it does get sorted out, when's the next one going to happen? Everybody's suffering at the moment, says Nick in Andrus. And Geraldine O'Neill, says Peter, needs to give her head a wobble. Oh, dear. The union is driving a lot of this dispute and they're stirring the pot. Teaching standards here since COVID have been fairly dire. With those GCSE results appall, we shouldn't be rewarding failure, says Peter. Thank you, Peter, for that notion. And teachers are already well paid, says Texter 228, plus tax advantages, 15% pension pot agreed, and only half of them actually voted. So how is it that 90% voted in favour of that? Was that the majority, says Steve? If some teachers have accepted the offer, then they could pay the strikers more, says that. Do the teachers' union take the lower rate of Manx income tax into consideration when asking for more money, says Brian. And Geraldine O'Neill, says John, has certainly changed her antagonistic attitude in the public domain, says John. Julian dropped a note in just to say, I understand the swimming pool review from Knight, Kavanagh and Page was released 2 weeks ago. I'm wondering, has anybody got any information of this report? This is Knight, Kavanagh of Page in Bury, who were hired by the government to do a review of all swimming pools on the Isle of Man. And obviously that will have, presumably will have a recommendation on what's going to happen to the Southern Swimming Pool, which I think is the oldest public swimming pool on the Isle of Man, the one that's had the least inward investment from the public purse. So we'll try and dig to the bottom of that. Knight, Kavanagh and Page have done this review, so we'll try and find out exactly what's happening with that.
Here at Marbury Motors on Snugborough Trading Estate, we put customers first, offering honest, expert service and great value. We're looking for a qualified automotive technician with extensive knowledge of maintenance and repair, including use of diagnostics, ability to troubleshoot, and proven experience with electrical systems, engine and general repairs, plus common IT packages. Email your CV to info@marburymotors.co.im now.
Need something to brighten up the autumn months? Treat yourselves to a glitzy night at the Manin Hotel. Enjoy a glass of Prosecco on arrival, three-course a la carte dinner, superb entertainment, plus a night stay and breakfast too, all just £185 per couple. Join us on Friday the 14th of October for an unforgettable night of music with a tribute to Michael Bublé. Visit maninhotel.im to book or call 60 25 55 now.
At NFU Mutual in Douglas, we believe the best way to look after our customers is to be based close to them. And so, with an office at Key House on South Quay, our great service is always close to home. If you need car, home or business insurance, call in to see us at NFU Mutual for a friendly face-to-face chat. Call us on 674 191. That's 674 191. Or to visit our website, Google NFU Mutual Isle of Man.
Keep the home fire burning.
Whatever happens this winter, AA Solid Fuel will be here to keep you supplied with a wide range of solid fuel and wood products, with cash and carry from our depot behind Isle of Man Creamery and deliveries island-wide. Order online at aasolidfuel.im or by calling 234116. AA Solid Fuel, a Manx family firm, here to keep your home fires burning this winter and beyond.
Agenda is back this week with everything you ever wanted to know about the government's economic strategy, last week's government conference, and how the House of Keys has fared during the last 12 months. Does the government have a bold and exciting vision set to change our lives for the better, or is it just the same old plan with a glitzy new cover? Find out on Agenda at 6pm this evening with me, Phil Gorn, on Manx Radio. Is Alf Cannon's vision a vibrant revelation, or one of those nightmares you get after eating too much cheese before bedtime?
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, the Isle of Man's main Net Zero Progress website.
Faster by, it's 10 to 1 on Manx Radio. Well, an interesting and fairly downbeat piece of news in that Gry, the island's charity, is going to close its night shelter and wind down operations following practical difficulties. Gry has announced it's going to unfortunately be closing its emergency night shelter at the end of this month. The decision's been taken with deep regret, say Gry, following a review of resourcing levels and an assessment regarding the long-term sustainability of services. The board's members are currently liaising with Broadway Baptist Church, where the charity has based its activities over the years. And it's been agreed that Broadway Baptist Church will take over responsibility for managing the drop-in and the pastoral support work in the community, which is the core work of GRI. The drop-in's going to be open 10:30 till 2 p.m., 10:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. to provide a lunchtime-only drop-in service offering food, hot drinks, clothing, shower facilities and a safe social place for the foreseeable future. We'll be checking that story as the day goes on. But GRI, it seems, is closing down. Erica dropped me a note on 816 to say, I'm a qualified teacher from Poland. I've got all the qualifications, qualified teacher status, degrees required to allow me to teach. Since 2019, 3 years, I keep sending my CV to be enrolled on the supply teachers list. I've been to interviews. Nothing. Absolutely nothing in reply. I speak English as a second language. I'm married to an Englishman. But is it my Polish accent that's something to do with this? It's not happening in England. There are many Polish teachers who speak English as a second language in England. Erica, thank you for that information. We may want to have a word with you about that. You keep saying the union, the members, the teachers are the union. They tell their representatives what they want. Then when the report comes back, they took my details, but nothing ever arrived. Can you please confirm? Sorry, that makes no sense. Text to 839. If you want to send me the full text. It's obviously been garbled up. Here's a message in just to say, surely the question is we should be asking of the teachers' union who remain taking industrial action while others have agreed to the offer made by the government is, what makes your members so special? Ian asks. If it does seem this particular union are holding parents and children to ransom by their actions, the union rep should realise there are plenty of parents in a much worse situation than her members. And it's the parents and the children which are suffering. Thank you, Ian, for that. I rarely shop in Douglas because of the lack of parking spaces, so I suggest Summerland should be a multi-storey car park and the trams or horse-drawn or motorised used as a park-and-ride system, says Dave Richards. It may come to that. I mean, Summerland looks like an absolute pig's breakfast, doesn't it? And it's been like that. It's a massive site. There have been, I think, quite a few suggestions and a few plans put in, but they've been knocked back over this. But really, if the government is serious about what's going to happen for the future and there's an extra 15,000 people are coming, what's the place going to look like? Texter 044 says the Lloyd's Pharmacy in Castletown, exactly the same. Queues, queues, queues. What happened to the news that another chemist was going to be in Ramsey? Says Ken. And here's a message in that just says, I texted in the other week to highlight Lloyd's in Onken was the same as Ramsey. Queue to get your prescription, not ready. Queue again to get half of the prescription. Then queue again a week later to get the rest of the prescription. I think the issue is that there is a shortage in Europe, and I think everything was sidelined by COVID, but let's not make that much of an excuse. Business and commerce is in the trade to get the job done. But lots of pharmaceutical capacity was used for COVID. And so there is a shortage of medications. Any pharmacist will tell you that on the Isle of Man. Ramsey pharmacist, this texter 379 says, never used to be a problem years ago, so perhaps Ramsey needs a different chemist instead of Lloyd's having the monopoly. Maybe that's the issue. I know it's discussed to death, but when will the Isle of Man government, if they can't sort out a water slide, what hope do we have with anything else? Oh, we're not back to the flumes, are we? And Lisa dropped a note in. Thank you, Lisa. Just to say, listening to Mrs. O'Neill from the Union is a bit like listening to an episode of Citizen Smith from 1980. Wolfie Smith it was, do you remember? She's completely detached from reality and living in some sort of ancient socialist heaven. My child was hardly schooled over lockdown and now has ended up with decidedly average GCSE results as a result of their failed COVID support for the two critical years who did their GCSEs this year and last, yet she thinks they're worthy of a massive pay increase and are going to go on strike. I think Mrs. O'Neill needs to get in the real world where your schools are failing some of our children. Well, Mrs. O'Neill, Geraldine O'Neill, I'm sure has very broad shoulders. She is a union representative. She will be used to criticism. But I just keep coming back to the fact that this is her job. It's her job to represent her members. And if the members are voting to continue industrial action or indeed to go on strike, then it is down to the members. Dick said if the planners have rejected the design of the nuisance site, which would have massively benefited Douglas and much more in keeping with the environment, it could have even had the great name 1786 on it, which may have caught on. Not that they haven't a clue about architecture, but I can guarantee they wave through the awful carbuncle, which is the plan for the Middlemarch site, with this giant flash of lightning across it without a blink of an eye, give thousands of visitors a dreadful first impression of the Isle of Man, with a gaudy modern monstrosity when they get off the boat. Thank you, Dick. Well, it is only a couple of hundred yards from the Middlemarch site, which they've approved, which is nowhere near being started, but just a couple of hundred yards to Newsons. Newsons is up for sale if you have the money to buy it. Maybe you've got an idea of what you want to do. Thanks to Howie Kane producing today. Back tomorrow. WINT.